when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street. You.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me. Haven't you noticed? Suddenly I'm bright and breezy because of all the beautiful and new things I'm learning about you day by day. Hello, young lovers, whoever you are, I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've had a love like you. Don't cry, young lovers, whatever you do, don't cry, because I'm alone. All of my memories are happy tonight. I've had a love of my own. I've had a love of my own, like yours. Not always say what you would have him say, but now and then he'll say something wonderful, the thoughtless things he'll do will hurt and worry you. Then all at once he'll do something wonderful. He has a thousand dreams that won't come true. You know that he believes in them, and that's enough. Always go along, defend him when he's wrong, and tell him when he's strong, he is wonderful. He'll always need your love, and so he'll get your love. A man who needs your love can be wonderful.
Something wonderful indeed. What could be more wonderful than the Rodgers and Hammerstein score to The King and I? Hello, this is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here at 88.3 FM, Peconic Public Broadcasting, emanating out of the almost nearly leap year hamlet of Southampton, New York. I want to thank Carmen McRae for giving us a little mini medley of that score to The King and I, which will be the subject of our broadcast today. And what a good time, although I must say a little belatedly, so for which I apologize, to celebrate The King and I, which currently is having a splendid revival at Lincoln Center Theater. Pretty much the same hands who did South Pacific a few years back, director Bart Scheer and his design team, and Kelly O'Hara, who plays Mrs. Anna in this production. I had the thrill of seeing it a couple of weeks ago with a wonderful actor named Hoon Lee, who has taken over in the role of the King, and we'll talk a little bit about him later. Well, this is one of the great Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals from 1951. It was a project initiated by the great British comedian, actress, singer, musical theater performer Gertrude Lawrence, who, approaching her middle age, wanted a role that she thought could demonstrate her vast charm and talent. And they optioned a novelization of the diaries of a Welsh governess who went to the court of Siam in the 1860s. And Rodgers and Hammerstein worked their magic. And along with the addition of a relative unknown named Yul Brynner playing the king, it transmuted into one of the great classics of the modern musical canon, and it's just been revived in many different ways. And we're going to hear a lot of selections of the amazing tunes that made their way into the American mainstream. Well, we are in Siam in the 1860s, and a Welsh governess and her five-year-old son, her name is Anna Lee Owens, comes into port, and it's a little mystifying and a little scary to see such a strange and exotic place. But here is Barbara Cook offering some advice about how to conquer your fear and apprehension from a studio recording in the 1960s of The King and I.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune so no one will suspect I'm afraid. While shivering in my shoes, I strike a careless pose and whistle a happy tune and no one ever knows I'm afraid. The result of this deception is very strange to tell, for when I fool the people I fear, I fool myself as well. I whistle a happy tune, and every single time, the happiness in the tune convinces me that I'm not afraid. Make believe you're brave, and the trick will take you far. You may be as brave as you make believe you are. You may be as brave as you make believe you are.
Good way to begin an hour of happy tunes from The King and I. That was Barbara Cook from a studio recording. Well, she meets the king, who's quite imperious and imperial. I guess those two words go together. Played, of course, in the original production and in many revivals and in the movie by Yul Brynner. And one of the things that perhaps shocks the Western Mrs. Anna is his many brides. And he has received a slave from Burma named Tup Tim, a very interesting young lady who tells us about her conflicted feelings about being one of many members of a concubine of the royal king. Here's Barbara Streisand singing this song. It's from one of her early albums, I think, People. Strange that such a brave and resourceful individual as Barbara Streisand would want to record this song, but she did, and it's also something wonderful. My Lord and Master from The King and I.
He is pleased with me, my Lord and Master, declares that he's pleased with me. What does he mean? What does he know?
Thus begins the romantic subplot of The King and I, where Tup Tim is actually in love with a younger man, Lun Ta, and that will cause some struggles in the royal household as we proceed. Well, Mrs. Anna learns about the young love between these two supporting characters in the subplot, and here is a wonderful studio recording. I just adore Julie Andrews in a role she was born to play. She only played it on a recording with Ben Kingsley, but this is her advice to young lovers everywhere.
When I think of Tom, I think about a night when the earth smelled of summer and the sky was streaked with white. And the soft mist of England was sleeping on a hill. I remember this, and I always will. There are new lovers now on the same silent hill, looking on the same blue sea. Tom and
down a street in a trance. You fly down a street on a chance that you'll meet, and you meet not really by chance. Don't cry, young lovers, whatever you do. Don't cry because I'm alone. All of my memories are happy tonight. I've had a love of my own.
That was the justifiably famous March of the Siamese Children from The King and I, music, of course, by Richard Rodgers, in which each one of the king's many children are presented at court. Always a good moment for a laugh and a tear, especially in this current production at Lincoln Center Theater of The King and I, which just keeps rolling along. I certainly advise anyone who adores musical theater to go and see it promptly. Well, the King originally, the titular King in The King and I, is actually a part that was considered a supporting role, if you can believe it or not, when it was originally produced in 1951. And a fairly unknown or little known performer. He had actually retired from performing and was working as a television director named Yul Brynner stepped into the part and he won Best Supporting Actor Tony and then owned the role because he played it in the movie and forever after. Here is from a 1977 revival, an excellent recording on RCA, hard to find, of Yul Brynner as the King with his eternal dilemma about trying to figure out what is the limits of his personal power and responsibility with the larger responsibility of being a monarch in a very confusing world. A puzzlement, Yul Brynner.
When I was a boy, world was better spot. What was so, what was not Now I'm a man, world have changed a lot. Something's nearly so, others nearly not. There are times I almost think I am not sure of what I absolutely know. Very often find confusion in conclusion I concluded long ago. In my head are many facts that as a student I have studied to procure. In my head are many facts of which I wish I was more certain. I was sure. Is a puzzlement. What to tell a growing son? What, for instance, shall I say to him of women? Shall I educate him on the ancient lines? Shall I tell the boy as far as he's able to respect his wives and love his concubines? Shall I tell him everyone is like the other, and the better one of two is really neither? If I tell him this, I think he won't believe it. And I nearly think I don't believe it either. When my father was a king, he was a king who knew exactly what he knew. And his brain was not the thing forever swinging to and fro and fro and to. Shall I then be like my father and be willfully unmovable and strong? Or is better to be right, or am I right when I believe I may be wrong? Shall I join with other nations in alliance? If allies are weak, am I not best alone? If allies are strong with power to protect me, might they not protect me out of all I own? Is a danger to be trusting one another? One will seldom want to do what other wishes. But unless someday somebody trusts somebody, there'll be nothing left on earth excepting fishes. There are times I almost think nobody's sure of what he absolutely knows. Everybody find confusion in conclusion he concluded long ago. And it puzzled me to learn that though a man may be in doubt of what he knows, very quickly will he fight, he'll fight to prove that what he does not no, is so. Oh, sometimes I think that people going mad. Sometimes I think that people not so bad. But no matter what I think, I must go living life. As leader of my kingdom, I must go forth. Be father to my children and husband to each wife, etc., etc., and so forth. If my Lord in heaven would have shown the way, every day I try to live another day. If my Lord in heaven would have shown the way, Every day I do my best for one more day. But ease a puzzlement.
My dad always used to tell a joke when I was, it was one of his favorites. A terrible thing happened the other day to Yul Brynner at a basketball game. Well, you can decide if it's funny. My dad thought so. Okay, we're moving on with The King and I. Here is the original Mrs. Anna, Gertrude Lawrence. This part was written for her. And late in the game, they decided they needed a number, a charm song, as they're called. And has there ever been a more charming charm song than this one, in which Mrs. Anna gets to know her pupils? And a wonderful set of lyrics, of course, by Oscar Hammerstein. Here's Gertrude Lawrence from the original cast of The King and I.
It's a very ancient saying, but a true and honest thought, that if you become a teacher, by your pupils you'll be taught. As a teacher I've been learning, and forgive me if I boast, that I've now become an expert on the subject I like most. Getting to know you. Getting to know you. Getting to know all about you. Getting to like you. Getting to hope you like me. Getting to know you. Putting it my way, but nicely. You are precisely my cup of tea. Getting to know you, getting to feel free and easy. When I'm with you, getting to know what to say. Haven't you noticed, suddenly I'm bright and breezy, because of all the beautiful and new
are few and over too soon. We speak in a whisper, afraid to be heard. When people are near, we speak not a word. Alone in our secret, together we sigh for one smiling day. Say to the sky, behold and believe what you see. Behold how my lover loves me. Together we sigh for one smiling day to be free. To kiss in the sunlight and say to the sky, behold and believe what you see.
That was Vic Damone in a very powerful and I think persuasive rendition of this great ballad, We Kiss in a Shadow from The King and I. And this is Luntaz's song. He's singing about how secretive his love with Tuptim has to be, lest they face the fearsome wrath of the king and the king and I. Interesting thing in The King and I think, is Rodgers and Hammerstein were so subtle about changing up the structure and the components and the conventions of a musical that sometimes you don't even notice them. They knew that they needed some kind of romantic story, but they almost pack it in entirely into the subplot and the main plot, which is the respect that Mrs. Anna needs to earn from the king and the king and I, and the graciousness that the king has to learn from Mrs. Anna is very subtly done. So odd that the major plot would have such a subtle story and the subplot have such a vast, deep, romantic one. Well, let us turn to the current revival of The King and I, Kelly O'Hara, who won a deserved Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical, has her big, almost kind of an 11 o'clock number, but right before intermission, or sort of before intermission, in which she is outraged at how the king has been treating her. It's a great number, witty, funny, passionate, and fiery, and Kelly O'Hara serves it to a fare thee well. Here is from the most recent cast recording of The King and I.
Your servant, indeed, I'm not your servant, although you give me less than servant's pay. I'm a free and independent employee. Because I'm a woman, you think like every woman, I have to be a slave or concubine. You conceited, self-indulgent, libertine. How I wish I'd called him that, right to his face, libertine. And while we're on the subject, sire, there are certain goings on around this place that I wish to tell you I do not admire. I do not like polygamy or even moderate bigamy. I realize that in your eyes that clearly makes a prigamy, but I am from a civilized land called Wales, where men like you are kept in county jails. In your pursuit of pleasure, you have mistresses who treasure you. They have no ken of other men beside whom they can measure you. A flock of sheep and you, the only ram. No wonder you're the wonder of Siam. Oh, I'm rather glad I didn't say that. Not with the women right there. And the children. The children, I'll not forget the children. No matter where I go, I'll always see those little faces looking up at me. At first, when I started to teach, they were shy and remained out of reach. Lately I thought one or two have been caught by a word I have said or a sentence I've read, and I've heard an occasional question that implied at the least a suggestion that the work I was trying to do was beginning to show. Chula Longcorn is very like his father. He's stubborn, but inquisitive and smart. I must leave this place before they break my heart. I must leave this place before they break. Oh, my goodness, I had no idea it was so late. Shall I tell you what I think of you? You're spoiled. You're a conscientious worker, but you're spoiled. Giving credit where it's due, there is much I like in you, but it's also very true that you're spoiled. Everybody's always bowing to the king. Everybody has to grovel to the king. By your Buddha, you are blessed. By your ladies, you're caressed. But the one who loves you best is the king. All this bowing and kowtowing to remind you of your royalty, I find a most disgusting exhibition. I wouldn't ask a Siamese cat to demonstrate his loyalty by taking this ridiculous position. How would you like it if you were a man playing the part of a toad, crawling around on your elbows and knees, eating the dust in the road? Toads! Toads! All of your people are toads! Yes, Your Majesty. No, Your Majesty. Tell us how low to go, Your Majesty. Make some more decrees, Your Majesty. Don't let us up off our knees, Your Majesty. Give us a kick if you please, Your Majesty. Give us a kick if you would, Your Majesty. Oh, that was good, Your Majesty.
Kelly O'Hara from the splendid current revival of The King and I at Lincoln Center Theater. This is Larry Mazlon, your host for Broadway to Main Street, and today we've taken our Main Street all the way on several what would I say, intercontinental boats and schooners to the Kingdom of Siam. And normally this would be intermission in the show, but it's a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical. So Act 1 is like 27 times longer than Act 2. But here we are at WPPB 88.3 FM. I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you're also going to iTunes, if you like, and typing in Broadway to Main Street. We have 170 shows on file there and that you're enjoying them. One of the stealth songs in The King and I is sung by the character of Lady Tiang, who is, shall we say, a long-suffering, one of the many wives, but the leading one of the king. And she explains to Mrs. Anna that even though she may be impatient and frustrated at the king, there is something about him that's rather special. I've always felt in a way that Oscar Hammerstein was writing these lyrics about Richard Rodgers. Here is Nina Simone to sing Something Wonderful.
This is a man who thinks with his heart. His heart is not always wise. This is a man who stumbles and falls, but this is a man who tries. This is a man you'll forgive and forgive and help to protect as long as you live. He will not always say what you would have him say, but now and then he'll say something wonderful. The thoughtless things he'll do will hurt and worry you. Then all at once he'll do something wonderful. He has a thousand dreams that won't come true. You know that he believes in them, and that's enough for you.
Your arms are lovely, and I have dreamed what a joy you'll be. I have dreamed every word you'll whisper when you're close, close to me. How you look in the glow of evening. I have dreamed and enjoyed the view. loved you so that by now I think I know what it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you. In these dreams I've loved you so. What it's like to be loved by you. I will love being loved by you.
Frank Sinatra, of course, from the Concert Sinatra album, singing another soaring ballad from the romantic subplot of The King and I. Now, I had the pleasure of seeing this recent revival at Lincoln Center about, I don't know, a month and a half ago, with an extraordinary actor playing the king, a guy I didn't really know, I'm ashamed to say, named Hoon Lee. And he gives a performance that, to me, is one of the top 10 great musical theater performances I've ever seen. So rush to Lincoln Center Theater, because I think he's gone by mid-March. And Kelly O'Hara will be replaced by the wonderful Maren Mazie in May. So just a titanic number of performers up there on 64th Street. And Lincoln Center gave me a little tiny clip of Hoon Lee and Kelly O'Hara that we're going to play, a little lanyap, and then we will segue into the film version of the climactic song with Yul Brynner and Deborah Carr, voiced, of course, by Marnie Nixon. Anyway, shall we dance, Hoon Lee and Kelly O'Hara, to start us off?
We dance together. You show me, you teach.
Well, it's quite simple. The polka. You count 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and
on a bright cloud of music shall we fly.
1, 2, 3, and
shall we dance?
1, 2, 3, and
shall we then say goodnight and mean goodbye?
1, 2, 3, and oh, perchance, when the last little star has left the sky,
shall we still be together with our arms around each other, and shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we dance?
Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
We've just been introduced. I do not know you well, but when the music started, something drew me to your side. So many men and girls are in each other's arms. It made me think we might be similarly occupied. Say goodnight and mean goodbye. Or perchance, when the last little star has left the sky, shall we still be together with our arms around each other, and shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen, shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
when the last little stars leave the sky.
Shall we still be together with our arms around each other? And shall you be my new romance? On the clear understanding that this kind of thing can happen.
Shall we dance? Shall we dance? Shall we dance?
That was from the film of The King and I. I think Alfred Newman conducted the studio orchestra, related to Randy Newman, something I stupidly didn't know until recently. Well, that is such a great moment of tenderness and repressed passion in The King and I, and brings our two leads together, at least on an emotional basis. But as we conclude The King and I, having a wonderful and splendid revival at Lincoln Center, we end with, sadly, because it's an Oscar Hammerstein show, the death of a character, the king himself, who has summoned Mrs. Anna and his prince to court to see if he can pass on some of the enlightenment and some of the understanding of fellow human beings that Mrs. Anna has brought to the court of Siam. This is the 1977 recording with Yul Brynner. He's pretty terrific. You'll also hear Constance Towers. Beautiful ending to a beautiful show. Thank you for spending time with me. And I, and the king, and I.
Chulalongkorn, rise. Mrs. Anna, please, take notes. You take notes for next king. Well, suppose you are king. Is there nothing you would do?
I would make proclamations.
Yes, yes.
First, I would proclaim for coming New Year fireworks. Also, boat races.
Boat races? Why boat races with New Year celebration?
I like boat races. And Father, I would make second proclamation.
Yes, what is second proclamation? Go ahead, make it.
Regarding custom of bowing to king in fashion of lowly toad, I do not believe this to be good thing, causing embarrassing fatigue of body, degrading experience for soul, etc., etc., etc. This is bad thing. I believe. You are angry with me, my father?
Oh, why do you ask a question? If you are king, you are king. You do not ask a question of sick man. No, of woman. Mrs. Anna. this proclamation. Against bowing to king, I believe to be your fault.
I hope so, Your Majesty. I do hope so.
Up! Rise up!
Up, up, up. Like soldiers in two lines. It has been said, there shall be no more bowing for showing respect for king. It has been said by one who has been trained for royal government.
No bowing like toad. No crouching, no crawling. This does not mean, however, that you do not show respect for king. You will stand with shoulders square back and chin high.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.